Parshas Vayetzei, the fourth reading, chapter 30, verse 14. There's a lot to say about the relationship of Rachel and Leah, a lot that's beyond us, and we can't even comment on. Let's suffice it to say that the things that occupied the heart, mind, and soul of Rachel and Leah was not their careers, but bringing more children into the world. And the truth is that this is really the essence of Yiddishkeit. I often go to funerals, and I hear people talk about my Yiddish mama, my mother this, my mother that. They never talk about the career achievements. They don't hear about any of the things, any of the values that people live for today. I hear about the values that are talked about in the Chumash, and I wonder what the future is going to sound like. At any rate, this is something that's an important reminder for us. But let's move into the detailed study of what we're going to focus on today. So Reuven, who is the eldest son of Leah, Vayelech Reuven b'meik tzirchitim. He goes out in the days when there's a harvest. Vayimtza dudaim. He finds dudaim. Also, we'll see what that might be. Vayavayosam. He brings these dudaim, or these flowers, Eleah imai, to Leah, his mother. Vatayma Rachel. Rachel says, Eleah, to her sister Leah, Tani na li midudoe b'nech. Give me some of those dudaim. So Rashi says there's two important things that this verse is conveying to us in a very, very literal level, very straightforward level. First of all, the Torah tells us when this happened, and that seems to be totally superfluous and irrelevant. What's the difference if it happened to make tzir chitim or not? He didn't bring chitim. Ah, Rashi says, but that is exactly the point. The Pasuk emphasizes that this is the harvest time, the day when they are cutting the chitim, the wheat. Lahagid shivcha shel shvatim. Here is the first time we're getting an inkling of the virtues of the Shvatim. She'es k'tzir hoya. This is a time when all of the produce is being cut or harvested. And the fields are full. There's always a little bit left over. It's impossible to claim every single detail, every nuance, every branch, every blade. Fields are laden, they're full. And yet, he did not stretch forth his hand, euphemistically speaking, to take something which wasn't his. He could have brought home some chitim, some wheat, or some oats. He didn't do that. Ella, rather, davar hefker. He brought home something which was ownerless. Nobody could possibly say, hey, that's my field of flowers. These are wild flowers. So what are dudaim? Well, with regard to the definition of these particular flowers, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzamach Tzadik Tes, on page 99, side 2, has a discussion about this. Rav calls them Yafruchi, Levi said Sigoli, and Rabbi Yonasan said Siviski. Now, Siviski is probably some kind of aroma, some kind of summon, some kind of aromatic spices. But the other two seem to be either an herb or a flower. Now Rashi, it seems, favors the opinion of Levi, and he says, Sigle. Well, what is Sigle? That doesn't really help us much. He says, Esavu. It's a kind of grass or herb. Well, Balashan Yishmael, in the language of Arabic, it's called Yasmin, jasmine. So this is, in all likelihood, at least in Pshuta Shel Mikra, a jasmine flower. So he brings home these jasmine flowers. And the question is, why does he bring home these jasmine flowers? What is the point? So the Sefarno says it was very aromatic, smelled beautiful. The Ibn Ezra talks about this idea that it was supposed to be some kind of fertility charm. He said the jasmine looks like a stick person. It's got a head and hands. And he says, I don't know why it would help for pregnancy. I don't really know, he says, but whatever. This is what was going on at the time. The Sefarno says, because they smelled very nice, so what happens is, it becomes something of an aroma, brings in a nice aroma. And here Ramban, I think, says something which is critically important. He says, this is what we would call, in modern syntax, an aphrodisiac. So this is like some kind of smell which was like enticing, and, you know, it kind of triggered certain feelings. At any rate, Reuven heard, says Radak, from people that these are used for fertility purposes, and Reuven caught the bug from his mother. He knew his mother wanted to bring more children into the world. So he, like a dutiful son, he's trying to help his mother bring more children into the world. So he brings her these flowers. And Rachel wants them. And Leah does not respond very well. But Tamar Lo, she says to her, Ma'at kachtech es ishi? You've already taken my husband. In other words, I always feel like a scullery maid. I'm always second rate. Ramban says it's like you're the wife and I'm the maidservant. Lakachas gam dudoi bni. Now you want to take my son's flowers too? My little bit of joy in life. But Tamar Rachel said, okay, fine. Lochein yishkav imach halayla. So let him be with you tonight. Tachas dudoi bneich. Instead of the flowers that I'll get. In other words, so Leah said, this is not fair. Like, come on. You have Yaakov. Now you want the flowers too? So Rachel said, okay, fine. So you have Yaakov. And the Rachaim says we can understand from this that as a rule, that's where Yaakov headed home. That was home for Yaakov. It was with Rachel. And in here, he said, not only he's with you always, but you want to have the jasmine flowers too. It's not fair. So Leah gives the flowers. Vayavo Yaakov ben Asada. Yaakov comes home from the field by Erev in the evening. Vateitze Leah lekrasi. It's Leah who goes out to greet him. Vatoimar, she says to him, Elai tavoy. Tonight you come home with me. Ki sochar sechaticha bidudoi bini. I have paid for tonight. I paid for tonight with the jasmines. Vayishkav ima valaylohu. He was with her. He was intimate with her on that night. So, Rashi says, what is the business of balailahu? By the way, we skipped the Rashi in verse 15. Let's quickly make up for that. Lakachas gam dudoi b'neich, you took my husband, you want the flowers too. Rashi says you have to read this bitmiya, with a wonder. So it's like in the modern equivalent of put a question mark at the end of that sentence. You want this too. Likach gam dudoi b'ni, you want to also take the dudoi and the jasmine flowers of my son? V'turgimai ulumesav, the Targum Onkelos who renders it to take, is this is along this idea. You took this, you want to take that too. So Rachel's response is okay, fine. Lachain yishkav imach alayla. Shali ha'isa shchivas layla zu. Yaakov Avinu was supposed to be with me. Vani neistaloch, I'll let him be with you instead, and I'll do a tachas dudoi b'neich instead of the flowers of your son. And Rashi tells us that this is a very sad moment for Rachel, because lefi shel zilzula the mishkav atzadik, because she did not seemingly respect the or appreciate being with the tzadik lezachzal lehikavrimai. This is one of the reasons that she did not merit to be buried with him. It's a difficult Rashi because we have a very, very different explanation that's proffered later on in Rashi himself, that Rachel needed to be there for her children, right? Because when they were being led into Galus Bavel, so then she was right there, Leim HaDerech, and they davened. We talked about that last night. But at any rate, there could be sometimes layered many reasons, so that's the story. At least part of the story. In verse 16, Sachar Sechaticha Nasati LeRachel Schara. I paid my way. In other words, she came out. Yaakov's going to say, no, I'm going home with Rachel tonight. She said, no, I paid. I've paid the price. I gave away my flowers. Rachel's in agreement. She's okay with this. Balailo, who that night? What's the emphasis of Hahu? Hahu, the emphasis of that night. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Siyoi, She Yetze Meni Yisachar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped that night. She was able to conceive Yisachar because of her desire to bring more children into the world. Thank you. Now, Vateitze Leah lekrasei, Leah goes out to greet him. I mean, like, why couldn't she just, like, deal with this all around the supper table? She had to go out to the field to greet him? What happened over there? So Radak says, what's going to happen? Yaakov's going to come home and go to Rachel's tent, and then he's going to say, come here, you can't stay here. It's tasteless. So she went out to the field, and she greeted him to begin with. The Rechaim says, since this was Rachel's agreement, and Leah was afraid she might change her mind. Because actually, it's a really stupid agreement. For some silly flowers, like, what do you get for the flowers? So she didn't want to take any chances, Leah. She went straight, said, that's it, you got the flowers, you agreed, she went straight out to the field. She said, I'm not taking any chances that Rachel will say, okay, you know what, let's do this exchange another time. Nope, she will take zero chances, no holds barred, she goes right away, and she makes sure that Yaakov comes home with her. By Yishma Lekim Aleah. It wasn't just her prayers. It was Leah's insatiable quest her incredible desire just to bring more children into the world. That's all she cared about. That's all she wanted to do, was bring more children into the world.
Was it for the children or to win the love of Yaakov?
I'm going to say it was for the children.
Doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense?
Well,
it makes all the sense in the world. Yes.
So where was her insatiation? She didn't go up to Rachel.
Well, she couldn't go without cause. You can't be a rebel without cause. You have to have some reasons to start somewhere. Precisely because she had this, as soon as the opportunity opened itself, right away.
But she could have made the opportunity before.
It's a very strange proposition to go make. Oh, by the way, can I take Yaakov tonight? I'll give you some flowers. She never dreamed Rachel would agree with that. But we know, in fact, that was her focus. Vayishma Elokim Aleha. Anyway, I'm absolutely certain about this because Rashi says it. Yeah. So I'm absolutely certain about it. And Rashi, of course, like says, we don't find it Leah davened. And it says, Vayishma Elokim. Verse 17 says, God listened to Leah. But we don't find anything Leah davened. So Rashi says something very powerful. She didn't have to say it. Sometimes a prayer is what you act, that's what you do. She acted prayerfully. Her quest, her desire was overt and obvious. And Hashem responded to that desire. Even though Leah is a master of prayer, as we learned last night, her prayers with tears is what changed a situation. And ultimately, by dint of that, the paradigm of the world history, changes on Leah's tears, prayerful tears, not tears of misery. But nonetheless, there's another element of Leah. Leah was like it says, David HaMelech says, "Ani tefila," I am prayer. She was, they say in Yiddish, a shtick tefila, a piece of prayer, like a walking prayer. Right? Not to be confused with a praying mantis, but you know this.
Right.
So Leah was this one continuous yearning and desire. What does she desire? She desired children, she desired family, she desired to become the matriarch of the Jewish people and make her contribution.
Wasn't there one of her prayers that now, I think it's after the fourth, now Yaakov will love me?
Well, so we'll see. Yeah, she continues to speak about that. Yes. There is an element of she'll earn her place with Yaakov also, but it's far beyond that. But we'll soon see. We'll talk about that in a little while. Okay, so this is the snapshot of the Rachel Leah dynamic, which, as I said, it's really beyond the few minutes that we have this morning. Balayla hu, when the Sefarno says b'ra'isa yishtad lusa v'kavanasa hatoyva b'davar, when it was so obvious that she was not doing this for pleasure, this was not about a night of fun. For her, it was about the chance of bringing another child into the world. That was so profound and so obvious that Hashem listened. That's why Hashem responds. So what happens? What happens is Hashem hears and she gives birth to a fifth son. Vatoymer Leah now says, she speaks, Nasan Elikim Schari, Hashem has given my reward. Hashem Nasati Shivchasi Liishi. Remember, she saw Rachel give her maidservant over Bilha, over to Yaakov. So she said, now I'll do whatever's necessary. If that's what brings me more fertility, then I'll do that. If she's looking for self-aggrandizement or selfish pleasure, why would she give her maidservant? That's limiting her amount of time with Yaakov because she wanted more children. That's, if anything, that would take Yaakov away from her, right? Sure. Nonetheless, she emphasized this concept that she wants, trying to bring more children into the world. So she says, Leah says, Hashem has given my reward. Vatikra Shema Yisachar. The name is called Yisachar. Now, this is really interesting because when you read the narrative, it's not about giving Zilpah, it's about the flowers. And Rashbam actually says that. Rashbam says that clearly in the Torah, she gave those exact words they use, Sachar Sacharticha. I paid for this. I paid with my flowers. And now she's talking about Zilla, the Zilpah, the reward of Zilpah. So Rashbam says that's why there's actually two shins in Yisachar. The word Yisachar comes from the word schar, rental, payment, or reward. But there's actually two shins, because it was two things Leah alluded to. The schar of Dudaim and the schar of Zilpah. It's a double, it's a redundancy here. The Daz Zekin in the Balei HaTosfa says something very fascinating. He says there are two shins. However, one is a silent shin. That's not, you don't say Yisachar, you say Yisachar. Why do you say Yisachar, not Yisachar? Why is it a silent shin? So he says, because there's a little bit of, it's not something to sing about from the rooftops, that I paid for Yaakov's night with some flowers. It sounds a little crass, but Leah wanted to include it. So he included it silently. That's the silent shin. So you have the loud shin and the silent shin. There's a very interesting comment from the Rebbe's father, Levi Yitzchak, who asked the question about why Yisachar is written with two shins. And he says that the Torah is a schar tov, the best is schayda. He says, but Torah is a revealed area of Torah and the hidden area of Torah. It's called Galya de Torah and Pnimius at Torah. So Pnimius at Torah, the secrets of Torah, the mystical esoteric element of Torah, that's the silent shin. The Galya de Torah, the overt and revealed element of Torah, that's the public shin. So that's why we have Yisachar, two sins, but not one sin is actually silent.
But that's why it's good. Yisachar is good at trading as well, because she trade was a good trade.
Yisachar's not a trader.
Oh, it's Zvulun.
Zvulun is the trader.
Almost.
It's true. Vatahar oid Leah. Now we move from Yisachar. Leah becomes pregnant a sixth time. Vatelad ben Shishi Yaakov. She has a sixth. She bears a sixth child to Yaakov. Now, why is it that when it comes to the fifth and the sixth, the Torah says, Vateled Yaakov ben Chamishi, Vateled Yaakov ben Shishi? It doesn't say that by the previous children. So, the Rabbeinu Bechaya says, the first four children were not the result of the special prayers or special efforts that Leah made. That was a given that she was going to have four children. That was natural. What was unnatural was her subsequent two children, Yisachar and Zvulun. Or Zvulun, so Yisachar and Zvulun, that was because of the extra prayers. So that didn't come by itself. That came because of the extra prayers, and that's why it was like a boon, a prophet. A fifth son, a son that didn't necessarily have to be that way. A sixth son didn't necessarily have to be that way. Right? Because Leah expected four matriarchs. So there'll be four wives, there'll be, you know, 12 sons. Okay, so it was four each. That was expected. Even though nothing could ever be expected, but that's the... That's how we understand it. Anyway, that's what Rabbeinu Bechaya explains why here there's a number that's given. Verse 20. So what happens to the sixth son? What's his name? Vatoymer Leah. Leah said, Zvadani Elikim Oisi Zevetoiv. Oh, he said, Hashem has given me a good portion. And therefore, because I have this good portion, Hapam Yizbeleini Ishi. Now my husband. Well, Yizbeleini me. What does that mean? We'll soon see. Ki yoladeti lo shishabonim, because I have bore him six sons. And here, you see what you're talking about. It's craving Yaakov's attention. Vatikra eshmoi, and she called his name Zevulun. Let's go to Rashi. What is the meaning of Zevetoiv? Leah said, Zvadani elikim oisi, Hashem has zvadanid me, and he gave me a Zevetoiv. So maybe one will understand what means Zevetoiv, we'll understand what Zvadani Elikim means. Because Zvadani is the verb and Zeved is the noun. So Zvadani Zeved means, let's say, it's not what it means, but I was rewarded the reward. That's in English doesn't work, but that's what it would be in Hebrew. It's not a reward, by the way, but I'm just using, if it would mean reward, Zvadani would mean rewarded verb, and reward would be Zeved, which is not what it means. But you understand, one is a verb, one is a noun. Zvadani, what Hashem did, what he gave me, and Zeved is what I got. So Rashi says, how do you understand Zeved, Toiv? He says, Kitargumai. Look at the Targum. What does Unkula say? Yahav, Hashem, Yaseis, Li, Cholak Tav. Cholak means a chelik, a good piece, a good portion. So he gave me a good portion. Okay, so if that's what it means... If it means Zeved Toiv means a good portion, what does it mean Yizbeleini Ishi? If Zvadani is the verb and Zeved is the noun, so a Zeved is a portion. Zvadani is I got a good portion. Then what's the third time this word is mentioned in the Pasuk? What's the Yizbeleini Ishi? I know what it means Hashem did. I know what it means I got. What does the Yizbeleini mean? Now, without learning Rashi, you would think Zvadani, Zeved, Yizbeleini, they're all words that sound the same. And the boy's name ends up being Zevulun. Probably one leads into the other, but it's not so. Because what happens is, Rashi says, that doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to say, now Yaakov will give you a good portion. She got the good portion. The good portion was the child. The good portion was a gift from Hashem. He gave her a good portion. So Rashi says, Yizbeleni is Lashain Beisvul. This can be understood syntactically as a permanent home. Beisvul is a pasuk from Malachim, from the Book of Kings. And Rashi gives us a French word. And our local Frenchman is not here today, so I don't know what this means. Hebraire or whatever. Hebreu. It means Beis Mother, Rashi says, a place of dwelling. Me'ata, from now, she said, Leitehei ikir diras yale'imi. His primary dwelling will always be with me. Why? Sheyeshli banim keneged kol nasha. Because I have more sons than all of the mothers together. All of the wives of Yaakov, now it's only going to be six shvatim. So if I already have six, that means, as far as bearing children, I've been equal to all the other three wives. So therefore, from this point in our word, Yaakov will be Yizbeleni. That's the meaning of Yizbeleni. He'll be with me in a permanent fashion. So Psadji Goran says, similar, but not exact as Rashi. Psadji Goran says, Vodani comes from the idea of Hishpia, Hashem has provided, given, and the Zeva Toiv is a Shefa Toiv. And Yizbeleni, he says, Yogur Etzli, he'll live with me. But Rashi, of course, explains it in a much further way. What does it mean, Yizbeleni? The idea of make for me, so to speak, a Yizbel. So Malbim says he'll take me as his permanent dwelling. In other words, it's not only that I'm Yaakov's wife, but I'm Yaakov's wife who was born in these six children. And therefore, naturally, he will gravitate. That will be, it's going to come with the kids. So most of the kids are where? Most of the kids are there. So Yaakov surely educated his children, inspired his children. Where will he spend his time? Spend his time with me. So that's this idea of Zevulun. We're good? You got that? Okay, let's go to the Biurim. Now we're going to take a look at Zevulun. This idea of what Zevulun means and the bigger picture. Page Ayin Beis, Simcha Vav. So Rashi said that it's about the primary dwelling, as Absadia said, Malbim explained. So the Rebbe's comment is, goes as follows: Mikach she Yaakov kova es ikir dirasei bi oyhaleya. From the fact that Yaakov would now cause his primary dwelling to be with Leah, not in the merit or virtue of Leah necessarily. But because Bischus laid the Zvulun, because Zvulun tipped the scales, and I was six, corresponding equal to all of the other wives. Mishum kach, ach nikra, Zvulun b'shem zeh. That's why Zvulun is called this. So Zvulun, his name is not Zevid, his name is Zvulun. His name is not, because it's not good portion. Then it would be, Kadosh Baruch Hu Zvadani, his name would be Zevid Zvadani. But his name is not Zevid Zvadani, his name is Zvulun, which as Rashi explained, is not a permutation of the word Zevid as Vadani. Zvulun means dwelling. And that's why his name comes from. His name comes from primary dwelling. That's the origin of Zvulun's name, the primary dwelling. Move on, it's understood, sheyeshne kesher toichni b'shnei advarim, that there must be some kind of inner connection between these things. In other words, that the kviyas ikud dirasa shel Yaakov, that the fact that Zevulun tips the scales. And that's where Yaakov's primary dwelling becomes as a result of Zevulun, that must have something to do with the virtue of Zevulun himself. In other words, you could just say that it's not Zevulun, it's all six children. Zevulun was the sixth, he tipped the scale. But from the fact that Zevulun was not just a number, or the sixth, but that his name is Zevulun, that means that Zevulun himself, not just by virtue of being the sixth, but Zvulun himself, by being Zvulun, is the one who causes Yaakov to dwell with Leah. There's something about Zvulun's essence, something about his nature, that causes Yaakov's dwelling, his being there. Because otherwise his name wouldn't be Zvulun. Mm-hmm. When it's his name, it bespeaks his essence. That's who he is. He is the Zvulun man. He brings about this dwelling thing. That sounds very nice. It sounds like a reasonable comment. But when you put it against the greater panorama of what the Shvatim did, who they represented, And what Yaakov was, you end up with something with an astonishing equation. Avedasi ha-miyuchedes shel Yaakov, the special efforts of Yaakov, b'yachas l'sha'ara avos, in comparison with the other patriarchs, was limud ha-Torah. If Avram is chesed, mils chasadim, Yitzchak could be avodah, which is offerings, korbanos, or spiritual servitude, and then it's Yaakov who would be Torah. And it says that about Yaakov, actually. The Torah describes Yaakov as the Yaakov Ishtam, a sincere, straight-hearted fellow, Yoshev Eholim, sitting in the tents. What is what sitting in the tents? What does it mean to be a tent dweller? Torah. Aholi shall Shem, Aholi shall Aver, it says. It says this was the tent of Shem Ve'Aver. That's what Rashi explains earlier. In that case, if Yaakov's essence is Torah, that's his essence. That's what Yaakov's all about Torah. So who causes Yaakov to dwell permanently with Leah? Zvulun. But one second. What was Zvulun's specialty? Business. Commerce. He's a merchant. Shivta asak b'mischar. The Shevet of Zvulun did not excel in Torah study. That was Yisachar's thing. Zvulun was the one who made it possible. He lived in Tel Aviv. He was the high-tech generation, whatever they call it, the equivalent of the startup nation. He was a merchant traveling to be in the port city. Tel Aviv didn't exist, Yafo. V'lo mishum kesher la'ahal shel Torah. Not because he was connected to the tent of Torah. So the dogma, for example, b'kesher li'Yisachar, this would be the connection to Yisachar. Yisachar, it says, Yoshevim v'oskim b'Torah. That's what it says clearly. Rashi says in Parshas Zesa Bracha. Yisachar was the one who dwelt primarily in the tents of Torah. If anybody is a full reflection of Yaakov, if anybody should grab Yaakov's attention, who should it be? Yisachar or Zevulun? Yisachar. And yet, who is the Yizbaleni? Who is the one who brings about this dwelling? Who grabs Yaakov's attention with a sense of permanence? Zvulun, and that's even his name. This is like astonishing. That's not what Yaakov is, though. He enabled what Yaakov is. Fine. Ulam, however, the Rebbe says, let's stop here for a moment. Kishanu mizbeinin in b'chayev shel Yaakov. When we contemplate and think carefully about the life of Yaakov, I'm supporting barichas b'parsha. Yaakov's life is discussed at great length in this week's Torah portion. This week's Torah portion is really the Torah portion of Yaakov. Yetzer Yaakov, Vayishlach Yaakov is already the story of Dina, the story of Shimon and Levi rise to prominence. There's different things happening. Vayeshev, the story is about Joseph, really. Yaakov plays a side role. The primary parsha of Yaakov, Vayetzer. So what do we see Yaakov doing in Parshas Vayetzer, the parsha that's about him? We have an allusion, a hint tucked into the folds of the scripture that he spent 14 years studying Torah, but that's only because it says, Vayolin Shom, he spent the night there, he put his head down there, he said, put his head down there, but he didn't put the head elsewhere. But we don't have an open description of Yaakov's Torah study. What do we have open description of Yaakov doing? Anu begalim, shegam ikir isuka shel Yaakov, what was Yaakov's primary emphasis? B'mira hatzayin shel lovam. Yaakov was the person who toiled in business. The business of sheep, but business. As it says, b'kol koichi avadati esavichin, he tells Rachel and Leah, I served your father with every ounce of wherewithal. And he didn't appreciate anything. Incidentally, the Rambam tells us, do you know we learn business ethics? If you're an employee, from Yaakov, b'kol koichi avadati. So Yaakov, in this week's parsha, which is his parsha, does not show up as the scholar. He shows up as the merchant, the business person, the professional. B'deimer la'avidasa shel Zevulun. If you took a look at Parshas Vayetzeh, who would you see here? Yisachar or Zevulun? You see Zevulun here. You don't see Yisachar. You don't see him opening scrolls. You don't see him sitting in tents. We see him dealing with Lavan. We see him multiplying. We see a genetic scientist. We see a cunning businessman. We see a negotiator, a deal maker. We don't see a professional. We don't see a Torah scholar here. The Rebbe says something very, very deep now, very profound. Amru Chazar Azal, our sages tell us, as found in Bereishis Rabba, Sikta Zutus, and many other places. Tzadikim doimin lebayrim. Tzadikim are fashioned and live in the image of their creator. V'lachain, therefore. K'shem she'ikid dirasesh la'kadosh baruch hu. Where is the primary dwelling of God, so to speak? Hashem created the world so he would have a dira b'tachtonim. And the dira b'tachtonim, the primary dwelling of Hashem, is ikid dirasesh la'kadosh baruch hu, is dafke ba'ilum hazeh. It's in this world. K'divri chazal, like that very famous Medrash Tanchuma of the beginning of Parshas Nasa, which Alter Rebbe quotes extensively in Tanya, Nisava HaKadosh Baruch Hu li yesh loy dira b'tachtonim. God desired a dwelling place here in the lower world. So just like when it comes to Hashem's dwelling place, where's Hashem's dwelling? The angels? Gan Eden? Yeshiva Shalmaila? No, b'tachtonim, in this lower world. So it is also with Yaakov. Ikir isuka shayinkev avinu. His primary occupation was in Yonei Elam HaZatachten, this literal physical world. And therefore, because Yaakov was about bringing godliness into the physical material world, even though we say that Yaakov is all about Torah, Nikve Iker Dirasa Shal Yankev, where was the primary dira of Yaakov? Where was it established? Bekesher Lileidase Shal Shevet Zevulun. It's connected to the birth of Zevulun. Sha'afu, what was his job? Asik Mahalas and Yonei Elam HaZagashmin L'kedusha. His job was to bring the physical, material, mundane, ordinary world into the holy scrimmage, into a higher orbit. And as a result of doing that, b'hafichas ha'olam, he could transform the world. And the world would become a dira b'tachtonim, a dwelling place for Hashem on high. Yesh la'hesef, we could even add one more interesting point. Shemitam zehemid Yaakov is ha'shvatim. That Yaakov Avinu establishes the shvatim. He brings up his family. Where? Where does he do that? Dafke kishu poel b'beis lavan. When did Yaakov build a family? When he was in Israel studying Torah? When he's in Iraq. When he's with Lavan. When he's doing business. In other words, how did he convey his spiritual ethos to his children? When they saw a father who worked day and night. Like it says, he was scorched by the hot sun in the desert sands, and at night by the frost. But he was always studying Torah. He was saying Shema Malos. In other words, Yaakov conveyed his love for Torah in the rubric of his business endeavors. And it was not not when he was sitting in a koilo, not when he was sitting and studying Torah, with the chain ve'ever. Kivon Shiyasoida Am Yisrael, what the Jewish people are all about, is not simply studying Torah, because in that case you could have stayed in heaven and studied Torah better. But rather, Birur Vezichu Cha'ilam Hazeh. It's about refining, it's about transforming the physical material, the literal world. Hafichasei, changing this existence into a Dira Lebeira Yisbarach, into a dwelling place for Hashem. So a person could say, you know, not a big Torah scholar, not a big tzaddik, not an akil, I'm a professional, I'm in business. Whatever, fine, I give money, I support the Talmidei Chachamim, but it's not really much value to what I'm doing. Comes along the story of Leah and says they make a big mistake. Not the case at all. Yizbeleni, who created the Beis Zvul? It's when you come, get up early in the morning and you study Torah, and you steal a few minutes during the day and you study Torah, and you come home at night exhausted and you study Torah. Now, when a Yid studies Torah in every moment that they have, and they utilize not the natural, easy schedule of Torah study, a yeshiva bachar, a kollel lingerman, but a person who's involved in the real world, and yet makes the time to devote himself to Hashem and study Torah, this is the true Yaakov. And that's the true essence of Torah. And ultimately, that's what our destiny and journey is really all about. Lasses le'yizbarach, dira b'tach tarim. So today's class is an ode to you.
Living Torah.
Very good.